We come to the last Lord's Day in the heart of our catechism, Lord's Day 52, found on page 63 in the back of the blue hymnals. What does the sixth request mean? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil means. By ourselves, we are too weak to hold our own, even for a moment. And our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong with the strength of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not go down to defeat in this spiritual struggle, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. What does your conclusion to this prayer mean? For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever means. We have made all these requests of you because as our all-powerful King, you not only want to, but are able to give us all that is good, and because your holy name and not we ourselves should receive all the praise forever. And finally, what does this little word amen express? Amen means this is sure to be. It is even more sure that God listens to my prayer than that I really desire what I pray for. And so in connection with that, I'd like to read from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 19. Then I'd like to read three verses from James chapter 1. So first of all, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 19. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterances may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And then just a few verses from James chapter 1. And reading verses, beginning to read at verse 13. Actually, I'm going to read at verse 1, at 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, this last request of the Lord's Prayer reminds us of the fact that the Christian life is a struggle. It's not an easy path. It's not a path that is lined with people that are cheering us on, people that are encouraging us, or offering us help, like marathon runners and people provide them with drink and all kinds of things that they need. That's not the path that we have. That's not what you ought to expect. Not that God doesn't provide us with help and strength, of course he does. But that doesn't take away from the fact that it is a difficult path. It's a challenging path. It's a path whereby we face a lot of opposition. And so the scriptures speak about this path as a narrow path. It's not a wide open one where you don't really you can't really go wrong. It's so wide. No, it's easy to get distracted. There's not many people on it. And there are many on the other road. And they're always calling us to join us. And how odd we are that we're walking down this narrow path. No, the challenges are always there, whether it's ridicule or whether it's persecution. And the Apostle Paul makes it very clear in terms of this battle. Not only did he experience it, but he knows that everyone else is going to experience it. And so he speaks about the passage that I've read in terms of put on the whole armor of God. You need an armor. I mean, you need an armor. This isn't a path that you want to proceed down without being equipped, without being ready, because you're going to go down in defeat. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Let us not be Christians that think, oh, the Christian life is pretty easy. Then we're not on that narrow path. We're not on that path of obedience, but we're meandering in this world. We're making all kinds of compromises. No, the Apostle Paul says that we're to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because we don't wrestle simply against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The devil, he says, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. There is a present danger that you face and I face. We all face. And so we have to take that into account as we go into this week. We can't afford to go down our path thinking we have nothing to worry about. This is going to be a bed of roses. It's not. It's absolutely not. That's why we need a shepherd, isn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. With him, I shall not be in want. But you go it alone, and no matter how strong you may think you are, no, you're going to be trapped. You're going to be damaged. And so this request in the Lord's Prayer focuses our minds on that reality and how much we need it. I mean, the Apostle Paul, even in the passage that we read in Philippians, asks them to pray for him. I mean, you think, well, he's an apostle. He's got, you know, all these powers and all these revelations. Surely he has everything straight. He's always alert. And yet he says, pray for me also, that I may open my mouth and proclaim the gospel. How intimidating the devil is. How discouraging the devil can make things. I mean, how discouraging is it that you go from church to church to church and all of these churches have problems? And then you think, well, did I do the right thing? Did I lay the right kind of foundation? Not only was he taunted by other leaders that came in and tried to undo what he did or direct the church in a different direction, away from Paul, back into bondage in terms of circumcision and the law, how discouraging that was. Not only from within the church, of course, but when he's planting those churches, he was being persecuted by the society around him. No wonder he says, pray for me, that I may be bold to preach the gospel, that I may not cower to these threats. And so if you think the Christian life is not that difficult, then perhaps it's not the Christian life that you're walking. Perhaps we're making compromises. perhaps we're not being bold. We're not doing what God calls us to do, and so we avoid any of those troubles. The petition, first and foremost, exposes this fact that we are in danger, that we're out of our depths on our own. And so the Lord's Prayer teaches us to pray to God, lead us not into temptation. So we're acutely aware that there are temptations out there. We're acutely aware that the devil is setting all kinds of traps in our path. The devil is using everything that he can to make our journey difficult with the society in which we live, with the unbelievers, with the powers that be. They all seem to work against us. Who encourages us in the Christian life? Certainly not the society that we live in. As Pilgrim Progress puts it, it's like Vanity Fair. Everywhere you turn, there's temptation. Everywhere you turn, they're luring you in a certain direction. They constantly are coming after you. And faced with that, see, it's only the Christian that recognizes all of these temptations and challenges that will pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation. But if we don't see the temptations, we think, oh, life is fine, no trouble. Then why would we pray that? Right? It's only when we see that before our very eyes that we recognize what a struggle this is, how difficult it is. And so we're asking God's help. Lead me not into temptation, because I'm weak. Because we experience those temptations every day in our lives. All kinds of thoughts go through our head. All kinds of opportunities come that are tempting and luring, and we have to think long and hard before we grasp them or go down a certain path. Because the devil, if he could trick our parents, first parents, and trick so many, if you read in the scriptures, so many people that were strong in their faith, then we think, he's somebody that we have to be careful about. If Paul is describing him as a roaring lion, then we better take account of him. If he is spoken about as the prince of the air, we better take account of him. Because he's had his way with the world for hundreds and thousands of years. He that can have the unbelieving world in his hands and lead them to do his bidding without even know that they're doing his bidding. While at the same time, these people are boasting that they have free will and doing what they want. No one's going to tell them what to do. In fact, they're in his hands doing exactly what he wants them to do. That's how subtle he is. And so we want to walk carefully. And so we want to see that weakness that we have and the need that we have of God to protect us and guide us. And so we pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation. I'm not looking to face the devil eye to eye. I'm not looking to find where he is, this roaring lion. Let me seek him out and let me stand before him and show how brave I am. No. I don't desire that at all. You shouldn't desire that at all. Because we know how fierce and wicked he is. As I was saying this morning to the children in Sunday school, it can be a little misleading if we don't really understand what is being said, or insinuate from what is said and come to a false kind of conclusion. The Lord's Prayer is not saying, Lord, please don't do what you planned, which is to bring us into temptation. Don't do that. Please don't take us into temptation. Which would clearly be contrary to the scriptures given the fact of what I read in James chapter 1, let no one, when he is tempted, say, God is tempting me. No, God doesn't lead us into temptation. God doesn't put wickedness in our way. He doesn't put evil in our way with the intent that we would embrace it. That's the devil's work, not the work of God. So no, when we are tempted, never say, oh, God's testing me. No, when we are tempted, then it's because we have caved to that temptation that the devil has brought. We, like Eve, begin to think about it. We, like Eve, think it'll be good for us. And so we yearn for it. We imagine us enjoying whatever that sin is. And soon we kind of justify it, and then we go down that path. And we're trapped. We're trapped. So that sin enters into our heart. And then we keep it there. We don't put it to death. We nurture it. We think about it. And then it begins to grow. And then it brings forth fruit. And it brings forth its wickedness and misery and death. That's what sin brings forth. And so what we're asking the Lord to do is, please keep us from going down those paths. Protect us from going down those paths. Protect us from being fooled to going down these paths and being exposed to these temptations and being trapped. We should have no desire. I mean, sometimes Christians think wrongly that to really show that we're Christians, we have to kind of look sin in the eye and stand our ground. No one's asking you to do that. It's not a sign of bravery to do that. Otherwise, the scriptures would say, oh, go and look at youthful lust and stand your ground. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, flee youthful lusts. Joseph did not stand before Potiphar's wife and say, yeah, I can stand my ground and I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to think any bad thoughts. I'm just going to stand there, show you how strong I am. No, what did he do? He fled. And he fled. No, we ought not to spend any more time being confronted by sin and its temptation than we can possibly do in terms of reducing that time. So we ought not to be going to those places where we're going to be exposed. We ought not to be engaging activities that's going to arouse our passions. Or hang out with people that are going to tempt us in that direction. Or watch things that are going to arouse certain feelings, or read things that are going to put thoughts into our minds that are not godly at all. So what we're asking God to do is to say, Lord, you know how weak I am, you know how subtle the devil is, and so please help me avoid those situations. Help me not go in that direction. And how many people, even, as I said, speaking in the church, how many young people don't find themselves in trouble because they don't heed that. They don't listen to that. They think they can hold their own. They think they can stand in this pressured situation and not cave at all. But little do they know. Little do they know of the subtlety of the devil. He had the apostle denying that he knew the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. That's the pressure that he brings. He had the patriarch Abraham denying that Sarah was his wife because of the fear that the devil brought into his heart, that if he would say that she's his wife, then he would surely be put to death by Pharaoh or anyone else that desired his wife. And so, out of fear, he said, no, she's not my wife. And justified it by saying, yeah, no, she's my sister. So the devil is very crafty and subtle and intimidating. He knows where to find our weak points and exploit them to the full. And if we want any evidence about the weakness that is in us, then all we have to do is read the scriptures and look at the people that were led astray by the devil or confused by the devil to say things that weren't honoring to God at all. I mean, collectively, just look at the Israelites. They were God's people. How often did the devil not sidetrack them into worshiping idols, into acting like the world, in terms of wanting to imitate the world? So even though God was their king, they wanted a king like the other nations. They wanted to be like them because it seemed they were being successful. They were successful. As though God ruling you is somehow less than what the world has, and you prefer that than this? Well, of course, that's exactly what he did with Adam and Eve. It was better for them to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and to know those things than to dwell in the safety of God's care. And so they ignored what God said and what damage that brought. But as I said, as you read through the Bible, you will be astonished at the things that, the victories that the devil had temporarily, I might say, because obviously, ultimately, he doesn't have victory over God's people at all. But temporarily, the all kinds of temptations that they fell into. So the devil isn't someone to be taken lightly. And so if we do, then we're not going to pray this prayer. But when we understand who he is and we have a whole history in terms of his dealings with God's people and the things that he's been able to accomplish in terms of leading them astray, needs to put us on God. That we cry out to God. We ask him to help us, to strengthen us, to guard us. Because even though we may not have fallen into certain things, there's people around us that have in the church. So if he can do it to them, he can do it to you. If he can do it to ministers, he can do it to you. If he can do it to elders, he can do it to you. If he's doing it to middle-aged people, he can do it to you. And he's done it in our young people. No, his activity is clear for everyone to see. And it's clear in your own life. Are we not honest enough with ourselves that we say we have challenges in our hearts? As Paul says, when I want to do something, when I want to do that which is good, I end up doing bad. There's a war going on. He recognized it. If the apostle admitted to the struggle that he has in his heart, such that he has to say, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? I mean, that's the way he spoke. We certainly have that challenge too. And so it's out of that recognition, out of that understanding, that we plead with God, lead us not into temptation. That's the last thing we want to do is sin. That's the last thing we want to do is fall prey to the devil. Please, God is against that. Help us in that. And so we pray to him and we obey him. I mean, if that prayer is going to get answered, then we have to listen to what God says. If we say, lead us not into temptation and guard us, and by the way, if we get caught and bound, deliver us from evil, because we can't deliver ourselves. I mean, the devil will get hold of us. We won't have a chance. We are no match for the devil. And so the Lord will have to deliver us. And he does. He delivers his people. But that's the first part, is recognizing that confrontation that is always going to be there in this sinful world in which we live. And you have to be aware of it. If our party is at war with us and we're oblivious to the fact that there is that a struggle going on, are we not going to be the losers? I mean, somebody's planning our downfall and we're not aware of it, and somehow we think we're going to sail through, nothing's going to happen. Not on your life. Not on your life. There's going to come a catastrophe that the devil is going to come at us and trap us. And as I said, the evidence is in the scriptures for us to read. The devil is a strong opponent. And so we need to take him seriously. And as I said, the Apostle Paul emphasizes that by saying we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That would be something in and of itself, right? To have the world against us, we're far outnumbered by the world. Our society, in terms of its opposition to Christianity, far excels in numbers than we are. So just on that level, we are on our defenses, as it were. But the thing is, that's not all. That's not all. That's not the only level that we struggle. But we struggle with principalities and powers. The devil is out there. And that's not just a scare tactic. I mean, other people in the world don't believe in the devil, even though they're they speak a lot about evil and argue with us. How can there be a God if there's so much evil in the world? So they want to point to the evil, but they don't want to believe that there's a devil. How foolish. I mean, how tricky the devil is. He's fully engaged in marring the creation of God, including humans, and they don't even recognize that he exists. I mean, that's the ultimate, isn't it? The opposition doesn't even know. Doesn't take you seriously. And he has many trophies. It's just like the Assyrians, you know, they came to Samaria, they attacked, for example, Hezekiah, and they were saying, you don't stand a chance. I mean, are you kidding? You don't stand a chance. We've got you surrounded. And if you think that you're going to stand because you believe in God, look at all the other cities that we've destroyed. Their gods didn't save them. And they were shouting that over the walls to intimidate people. That's the way the devil is. He wants to discourage us. And he has a lot of examples to give in terms of his power. We see that, of course, even in terms of Jude, where we see even the angels of God take into account the wicked angels. So if angels take note of these wicked angels and don't take them lightly, then how much more should we take them seriously and he that leads them seriously? You're going to be confronted by the devil. And not for good, I might add, in terms of his purposes. He wants to rob us of our faith. He wants to take that faith away from us. And were it not for the Lord Jesus Christ that said to Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, ours would. It would. It's only because the Lord is watching over us and keeping us in the palm of his hands and interceding for us that our faith remains intact, even though we are constantly berated and attacked by the devil. And so, as I said, we have to take the devil seriously. He is a reality in our life. And if you cannot see his fingerprints and his involvement in the world around us, then you are awfully ignorant of the devil. And you're not seeing straight in terms of what reality is. Now, reading the scriptures and seeing what's out there shows us how active the world is in the hands of the devil and how they're doing his bidding. And he seems to be on the increase. But the Lord's Prayer brings us hope. It brings us courage. Even though we are weak and we admit that and we cry out to God for help and we know that the devil is strong and we're no match for him, yet we're asking the Lord to help us because we know that he is strong. We know that he has the devil in his control. All power and glory are his. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, as the Catechism has already reminded us earlier when it talks about creation. He created everything, and that includes the angels, and he controls everything. It doesn't just, the devil can't do whatever he wants, which is clear from Job, you remember, that he went to God and asked permission to approach Job. He didn't do it off his own back. He didn't say, oh, I have freedom, I'm going to do whatever I like. No, no, no. He is a creature of God and under his control. And even though God is patient and long-suffering, even though God allows him his activity, it's only to a certain point, only to expose how wicked the devil is, not because God is weak, not because he can't take him out any moment, he can't, but that's the way our God is. He doesn't simply use might to get his way. No, he does it in such a way that his glory is seen even more. His righteousness, his character, his attributes, all of those things are brought into the glorious manner that people can see. And so when they see the devil judged at the end, they will see how great and wonderful this God is. Just as he's patient with wicked people, just as he's patient with us. He's not quick to anger. No, he is just and merciful. And so don't interpret the devil's freedom to do all of these things and his success, supposed success, in ruining so many things as a sign that God is weak. No. No, absolutely not. God was not weak when the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested and sentenced to death and crucified on the cross. He wasn't weak. It led to the greatest glory of God being manifested. Salvation provided for us through the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross. It wasn't defeat. Wasn't humiliation. The only person that got humiliated was the devil himself. He's the one that got humiliated and disarmed and made a public spectacle of in light of God's wonderful bringing to fruition that plan of salvation. So don't think that the devil is winning in this world, that he's winning against us. No. God has his purposes. And so the Lord's Prayer in terms of this section ends with looking to the power of God. Looking to the power of God. Having confidence that even though we're looking at this grim reality that we're going to face face the devil this week, he is strong, he is very subtle, and some of us are going to fall and stumble because he's going to blind us, that nevertheless we don't fear. Our faith is going to be able to stand. And whether the devil trips us and hurts us, God will heal. God will restore. And God will finish that work that he has begun in us. And so we're confident in our prayer. We rely on God and his strength. And what he provides for us in terms of the armor of God that we've spoken about, that we've gone over before in our sermons in Ephesians. We need to take heed to what God has provided for us. both in terms of the temptations, we said lead us not into temptation. Well, how is that going to be applied to us? Learning about sin, understanding the devil tactics and not caving to them, not walking into his trap. Put to death the deeds of the flesh. Cut it off. Don't give it opportunity. But in terms of defense, what does it mean? Make use of the means of grace. Make use of the armor of God that Paul speaks about. Have the sword of the Spirit, have the word of God richly dwelling in you so that you know how to respond to the temptations of the devil. Even as Jesus says, it is written, it is written, it is written. Would Eve have said, it is said by God, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? No, we need to be familiar with the word of God, familiar with God's holiness and righteousness, his law, so that when those temptations come, we're not ignorant as he leads us down the path. Absolutely not. So it's up to us then to use those means of faith so that he doesn't trick us into thinking we're not really Christians, or he manipulates the word of God, carving a place for us to do wicked things and think we're doing okay, we're doing right. No. No. We need to know the word of God. We need to know what makes up our salvation so that we're not fooled and we're not tricked into doing things that the Lord, that the word of God tells us not to. But we trust in God. People of God, life is a challenge. We have the devil as our foe. And so the Christian life isn't easy. But it doesn't mean that the Christian life cannot be victorious. It doesn't mean that we're not going to persevere to the end. We absolutely are. And that's the beauty of God's salvation. He takes puny people like you and me. He takes people that are absolutely out of their depth with the devil. And what does he do? He gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through what he has done in our lives, what he provides for us, we're able to stand like David against Goliath. We're able, as Paul says in Ephesians, when you've done all, stand. Stand. And the devil will flee from you. So God has given us all that we need. We need to recognize it. We need to apply it. We need to be always on our guard, knowing that's the danger that we face. And so the Lord's Prayer, in coming to the end, reminds us there are temptations that you're going to face. Real hard and difficult and alluring temptations. But the Lord is there to help. Lead us not into temptation. Guard our path. And as I say, if we do go down that path and we're trapped like Peter was, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Why? Because thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. You are able to do it. You've already humiliated him. You've already disarmed him. He is at your beck and call. You control him. And though he may come at us like no one's going to deliver you, as I said in the Old Testament, as the Assyrians came against Zedekiah, yet they went away. 180,000 of them died. 180,000 died. Without Hezekiah and the Israelites lifting a sword, God took care of them. And God will take care of us. But you need to be fully engaged. You need to be aware of the journey that you take and the dangers that stand before you. Not that we might be depressed, not that we might go and find places to hide, but that we might take on the full armor of God and rely upon him so that we can walk in ways that will bring honor and glory to his name. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we know that our opponent is strong. Our enemies are numerous. far excelling us in numbers. But our Father in heaven, you are the Almighty God. You are great. And you, in your wonderful wisdom, show forth the power and the glory of your work of grace in us, such that as we obey you, we can stand against the devil himself. What humiliation for him, being the archangel, and yet not being able to take away the faith that you've given us, not being able to destroy the work that you are doing in us, making us more and more in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we thank you for that. And we pray that it would spur us on to be obedient to you. And by you guiding and strengthening us, we may make progress in our holiness, that we might indeed be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're thankful that the Spirit himself is working in us and will bring that work to completion, that we will be the bride of Christ without spot and without blemish, blameless before you, and an eternal irritant in the devil and all his angels. Our Father in heaven, to you is all the glory and all the power. For in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Let us respond as we sing from the Blue Hymnals, number 233. Again, we'll sing stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 8. 1, 2, 3, and 8 of 233.